You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
What's the greatest sin being committed by Christians today? Well, last time Dr. J. Vernon McGee left us with this question. Have you figured out the answer yet? Welcome to Through the Bible. While we open our Bibles to the Old Testament book of Isaiah and continue to ponder our answer, Greg Harris is here to tell us what's new at Through the Bible.
Well, there's always something new, and it's usually surprising, Steve. I think my favorite kinds of stories to tell about Through the Bible are things that are completely organic, or theologically, let's say, Holy Spirit driven.
Yes.
And we have a story to tell you today, and I hope you're going to enjoy this story. And as we like to say, Steve and I, we're just not that smart.
Yes.
I mean, we're not incompetent. We like to run the ministry well, but seriously, the best ministry ideas often don't come out of our sitting in a room planning something.
Right, right.
And this is one of them. So this, by the way, if you're interested in this, we have a newsletter article this month, and if you can go online and sign up today, you will get it in your email box this week. And you can read about this and lots of other good ministries.
Yeah, this is such a great story. This is a family of missionaries in Micronesia. Now, if you don't know where Micronesia is, go to Hawaii and then go 4,000 miles west of there, and you should bump into one of those little tiny islands.
And you'll see just the tiniest little dots in the middle of the Pacific. It's very, very small.
Okay.
That's why it's called Micronesia.
And hence the name.
Yes.
And all those people, or some of them, speak the Chuck language.
Yes.
And this is a missionary family that went out and has dedicated their lives to sharing the gospel with these folks, and they love Through the Bible.
They do. In fact, the father was a missionary to Hawaii in 1991 as a result of Dr. McGee's burden for the Hawaiian people.
Wow.
While he was in Oahu, he met the Chukis people, and their islands, as we were saying earlier, lie about 4,000 miles west of Hawaii. And he began making some short mission trips, and finally he moved their family to the island of Chuck in 1997.
Yeah, and then they started an FM radio station on the islands in the language of Chuck about 15 years ago. And it was really, for those folks, the most efficient way to do ministry. You know, we talk about radio not being relevant in certain parts of the world. In this part of the world, it's highly relevant.
Absolutely.
So his sister ends up interpreting many of Dr. McGee's sermons and then air them on the station. And so really, it's Through the Bible going into a different language.
and we never set it up. That's what I love about this. And also, this is a whole family affair. It's a family ministry. The brother also interpreted the question and answer programs for many years. And I love this. Dr. McGee is lovingly known as Dr. Mickey all over the islands.
Yeah, and they're really taking the whole ministry and giving it to the Chukis people. They're translating Through the Bible's commentaries into Chukis, and they are having a tremendous impact on those folks using the ministry of Through the Bible to help accomplish that.
Yeah, and Steve, we often talk about this, but we know we have many new listeners, and they might say, wow, all this effort for a people group of less than 50,000 people. Well, that's a pretty big church. If you can reach a lot of those people, it's a very powerful ministry, and apparently there's been a multi-generational effect. They're hearing people share that this has ministered to fathers and sons and mothers, and this kind of faithfulness over many years is just a powerful statement to the power of God's word.
Yeah. And if you are moved by this story and you want to be encouraged by similar stories like this, there's a couple of things you can do. One, Greg's already mentioned, sign up for our monthly newsletter. Super easy. Just go online, sign up. You can get it in the mail. You can get a digital version, whichever you prefer. And then the other thing is to sign up for our world prayer team. Go to ttb.org/pray. Now, that's going to get you an email every day, Monday through Friday, where we as a collective group, you and about 16,000 to 17,000 right now. People around the world are praying for different parts of the world. We travel the world on our knees, is what we like to say. And you're going to hear encouraging stories like this, testimonies of how people are coming to faith, and you have an opportunity to pray. And it will revolutionize your missionary focus within your prayer life, as well as, we think, encourage you to one day the glory that we are going to be able to share in together and be in the presence of Christ and see brothers and sisters who we prayed for but never met.
Amen. And also, I think we all need encouragement in this time that we live
yes.
in. And these daily stories remind us that God's word is unstoppable.
Yep. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin Isaiah 49?
Father, we are moved by the story of this family and their faithfulness to take through the Bible materials, translate them, broadcast them, and then to see powerful working of your hand in the lives of people that speak the Chuck language. We pray for many, many hundreds of these different outreaches in these smaller languages because you love those people and Jesus died for them. And I pray you'd help us get your whole word to the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're off to Isaiah 49 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we have come here to another division in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Now, there were, as we said at the beginning, three major divisions. In the first 35 chapters, it was judgment, and that was divided up, as we saw, in many ways. Then there was the historic interlude, chapters 36 and 39. And then the great subject of salvation, or the revelation of the Savior in the place of suffering, chapters 40 through 66. Now, the first thing that we saw was the salvation of Jehovah, and that was in the 40 to 48. Now, we have labeled it, because we believe it's very accurate to label it, the comfort of Jehovah, and it comes through the servant, the Lord Jesus. Now, that's been in chapters 40 through 48 that we've looked at, and we've seen here that great polemic against idolatry that was prevalent in that day. Now, beginning here with chapter 49 and going through 57, we have the salvation of Jehovah, which comes through the suffering servant. And then finally, when we get to chapter 58 through 66, we'll see the glory of Jehovah, which comes through the suffering servant. Now, each one of these last three divisions can be marked off at the place where God says, as he did in chapter 48 at verse 22, "There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." Now, that is something that I think is patently evident today. Man's history is a history of warfare and constant conflict going on. And you will find that this is true today, not only among nations, it's true among cities. They call it, of course, their competition. You find it in the business world. You find it in the social world. And you find it today in the religious world. There is this conflict that is going on. And I think that you'll find it in practically every neighborhood, in every town and hamlet of our country and of every country. And you'll find it in many homes, this conflict. "No peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Now, if you can make peace in the human heart apart from God as a wicked man, then you will contradict the word of God. So far, no one has been able to do it. Now, that makes this essentially an important section. Now, as we begin chapter 49 here, it's the salvation of Jehovah. And we are now beginning to move toward the definite revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the suffering servant of God. We have been moving from actually the very beginning, but we saw him as the servant who brings comfort to God's people. And it's rather a silhouette. It's in the background, and we don't see too much of it. The closer we get to chapter 53, where we have that wonderful revelation of the cross of Christ, then more and more will he become clear to us. Now, at first, Israel was the servant of Jehovah, but Israel failed. Now God is going to begin to speak to us of another servant, and that servant is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find in the prophetic scriptures that they spoke primarily of Israel, and yet the final meaning was found in the person of Christ. Now, I think a classic illustration of that is in Hosea 11:1, where it's recorded, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Now, in Matthew 2:15, that's fulfilled in Christ. The nation failed, and now the one that came out of the nation is the one that succeeded. Now, we have here in the first seven verses of this chapter the discourse of Christ to the world. And I want you to listen to this, because as you listen, you are listening in on a discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ as truly as the 12 apostles listened to him in Galilee. In this chapter, we see Christ moving out to become the Savior of the world. And in that movement, Israel is not forsaken, for her assured restoration to the land is reaffirmed here. So that we have in the first seven verses the discourse of Christ to the world, and then verses 8 through 21, the discussion of Jehovah with Israel regarding their restoration, and then verses 22 through 26, that's a digression concerning the judgment of Israel's oppressors. Now, I left the high point out of each, but this first one is rather important. This is the discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, and friends, there is nothing to correspond to it in the religions of this world. Here is one that's looking at a world, and he is looking at it as the servant of God who's come as the Savior of the world. Every religion is confined to an ethnic group or to several ethnic groups. They were not worldwide. None of them moved beyond the borders generally of a tribe or a people or a nation, so that most deities were local deities. But the deity in the Word of God is the living God, the creator of the universe, and the redeemer of mankind. That makes this unique indeed. Now I'm reading verse 1, chapter 49. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." Now Christ here is calling upon the nations of the world to hear. And he was given the name of Jesus before he was born. And this name is to be proclaimed to the world because it's the name of the Savior, and the world needs a Savior. Listen to verse 2. "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me." Now, the sharp sword that went out of his mouth is the Word of God. And the estimation of his enemies when the Lord Jesus was here is, "Never man spake as he spake." And the book of Revelation closes with this one coming, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." It's the judgment, you see, of the nations by the Word of God. And notice the identification. "And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Now, this will be true of the nation Israel, and it is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a remarkable statement in verse 4. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. Now, though he was rejected, and it may look as if he labored in vain, his confidence is in God. And even the death of the Lord Jesus was a victory. In fact, it's the greatest victory up to now that the world has seen. And the emphasis, therefore, in this section is on the suffering servant. And at his first coming, he did not gather Israel because they rejected him. But he did something far more wonderful. He wrought salvation for the world. And therefore, God's purposes were not thwarted by man's little machinations. And listen in verse 5, therefore, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And friends, I submit this to you as being one of the most remarkable passages in the Word of God. And these are passages that unfortunately are not looked at very often by God's people. Now, verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that's faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now, you remember Paul put it like this, that if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, he says if the rejection of Israel meant a gospel that went to the ends of the earth, think what it's going to be someday when God does regather them. Now, in this second section, we have a discussion of Jehovah with Israel regarding their restoration. And I just lift out one or two things here. Verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee. I'll give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Now, God heard the prayer of Christ, and he whom the nation crucified will be the one before whom kings will bow. Even every knee must acknowledge his lordship. Now I drop down to verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. You see, God's purposes in the earth center in the nation Israel. When they are back in the land, then both the heavens and the earth can rejoice. And today, we have everything more or less out of socket today. It's out of place as far as the world is concerned. Israel should be in the land, in the place of blessing, serving God. They're not. The church should be in heaven with Christ. Church is still in the world. The devil should be in hell, and he's walking around the earth today seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord Jesus Christ should be sitting upon the throne of this earth, ruling this earth. But he's at the right hand of God. You know, there are a lot of things that have got to get shifted around and get in their right socket. And when they do, then it'll be true of what Browning says. God is in his heaven and all's right with the world. Right now, Pippin's passes of Browning just doesn't fit into the world that you and I live in. But now the Lord's talking to them here. It's his discussion with them regarding their restoration. And if you still have doubts whether God will restore Israel, then I submit this section to you for your careful study. Now I drop down to the last division here in verse 22, and it's the third section. And this is really a digression here, that God's going to judge their oppressors. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Now God assures Israel that the Gentiles will assist him in the final restoration of the nation to the land. Heretofore, the Gentiles have scattered them. And this makes this rather remarkable prophecy even today. Now you remember, though Great Britain did open that land for them, yet Great Britain is the one that put out a mandate they could not enter. And you remember, they came in by ship without permission, and they have been hindered most of the time. It has taken persecution to push them out of other countries. They have been subjected to a great deal of anti-Semitism. Now, what you have here, therefore, is the fact that in that day, God will bring them back into the land and use the Gentiles to move them back. Now I come to chapter 50 here, and we have the reason for the rejection of Israel, and that is Israel's rejection of Christ. That is the reason today. That is the hurdle they must get over before there can be blessing for them. He came as their Messiah. He actually was one of them. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own people, and his own people received him not. He was born under the law. The woman at the well says, "How is it, thou being a Jew, that you ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Now we have here in this chapter, God the Father states the reason for the rejection of Israel. And then in verses 4-9, God the Son speaks concerning his humiliation. And in verses 10-11, God the Holy Spirit suggests that men trust the Son. This is another remarkable chapter, by the way, and a very brief one. "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away." Now, the fact they are in the position that they're in is because of the attitude and their relationship to the one that God sent to them. Now, in verse 2, God says, "Wherefore, when I come, was there no man? When I call, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there's no water, and dieth for thirst." In other words, when Christ came, the dignity and worth of his person demanded that men join angels in praise and worship. He was the Creator and Redeemer and demanded reverence from his creatures, and God would have saved. But he was rejected then by his people, and today he's being rejected by a world. Verse 3, "I clothe the heavens with blackness, I make sackcloth their covering." Now the Son, beginning at verse 4, speaks of his humiliation. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." The title by which Christ here, the perfect servant, addresses God is revealing. It's Jehovah Adonai. This is the way he made himself known to his people. "Now he came meek and lowly to do the Father's will." And it says here that how to speak a word in season. He studied the Word of God. And my friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ studied and knew the Word of God in his day, what about you, Christian friend? Isn't it really one of the greatest sins of believers in this hour? It's not sins of commission, it's sins of omission, omitting the study of the Word of God. I would say that that's the great sin of the church. At this hour, just not studying the Word of God. It's the great sin of individual Christians today. That's the reason for this program. We'll leave off there, friends, and until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a great message. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus actually studied the Word of God too? What an example He set for us. If you'd like some help digging deeper into the Bible, why don't you go to ttb.org, where we've got an entire library of resources that are waiting for you. Or if you're looking for something specific, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for your company on the Bible Bus and your partnership in taking the whole Word to the whole world.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Jesus Christ. I'm praying for all our faith partners and radio listeners today and every day. Praise God. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-215-6955-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, grace just in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We praise Him this morning for every opportunity to come into your homes, nursing home, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time when we want to give the Lord all of the praise and honor and the glory. I know many people talk about, well, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is something that one has to live. You just don't talk about Him and not live for Him. And when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, every promise that He has made mention of through His word will be ours. Praise God, praise God. Well, today I want to speak to all that have tuned into this broadcast, whomever you are, wherever you are. I just want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you so much until He went to Calvary's cross to die for all of your sins, sicknesses, disease, whatever shortcoming, griefs, and sorrow that you've experienced. Jesus took it and nailed it to His cross. And that is the reason why I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I ask you the question, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and only the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with your experiences and all of the things that people are running after today. The gospel must be preached, praise God, so that souls can be won and brought into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only way that they will come in is that the gospel must be preached, praise God. Well, we want to look at, first of all, in Romans 1 and verse 16, glory to God. And I want to bring to all those that have tuned into the broadcast that the attention that Apostle Paul is speaking of, and by faith, praise God, this is what everything is being done by faith. That's why he said in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, not only by grace, but through faith. Praise God. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We can't boast about what we have because we didn't save ourselves. God only wants us to receive what His Son has done for us all by faith. So in Romans 1 and verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel of Christ, for it is. The gospel of Christ, it is. For the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek or Gentiles. I want to tell you today that this gospel, praise the Lord, is by faith. We receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by faith, because none of us have seen him, praise God, but one day you will see him. Right now, he's looking at what we are doing and how we are living, and one day you're going to have to see him. So, in other words, he sees everything that you're doing now, but one day you're going to have to see him. And I pray to God that when you stand before the Master, he will tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, then I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, I want to tell you, I don't want, and I thank God that you won't hear that other side there, because Jesus has the last word on both things that I'm about to say. The second statement that he will make, if you have not done what he said, been obedient to his word, he will tell you, depart from me, you that worketh iniquity. He said, I never knew you. Well, we want to know him. Praise God. We want to know him, relationship with him through prayer and through the word of God. So Apostle Paul is telling us in Romans 1 and verse 16, he says here that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel must be preached. I strongly believe that this is the reason why many people are not saved, because they are trying to carry their salvation in their own hands. Well, I don't cuss, I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't do all of those things. All that is self-righteousness, and it cannot stand in the presence of God, because the word of God has already told us that our righteousness is only as filthy rags in the sight of God. So listen, I tell you, that means that it is filthy in the sight of God, because God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Minister Glory, this is most important that we all must take notice of, that the gospel must be preached.
Amen.
And I strongly believe, and this is my perception on whether the gospel is preached or not, because when the gospel is preached, there are results of what the gospel is saying to us all. If we believe, praise God. Now, I want you to understand something out there in Radio Land. If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and realize that Jesus died for your sins, listen to me very carefully out there. I'm speaking to folks that are saved, and someone, praise God, may have tuned into this broadcast unexpectedly, but I want to tell you, don't turn the radio off, because the gospel is for you as well. Everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs Jesus.
Amen.
And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all. Praise God. Praise God. So what happened is that Paul is telling us this. Apostle Paul is telling us this. And Minister Glory, you want to read the next verse there?
It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just, that are justified, those that have been found not guilty and declared righteous. Now, I understand that the word of God is written to church folks, folks that are born again, folks that have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks that believe what the gospel is saying to them. Therefore, they change their way of thinking and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. But I tell you today, there are many people today that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the gospel, listen to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land, and if the gospel is preached, not some preacher's experience, although that's his experience, and it's good to share that, but when we look at the whole picture of everything, we must see that the gospel must be preached, and we that hear it must believe. I tell you, The gospel is good news.
Amen.
Praise God. Can you imagine for a moment somebody telling you that, well, there was one that took your sins and nailed them to the cross, but it does not mean that you can do whatever you want to do or live any kind of way. That is not what is being told here. What is being said is that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus took your sins and nailed them to his cross. And by faith, I said by faith,
yes,
we must believe and receive what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
So the just, I said the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. I said the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you put your faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. That's every day our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and only him. There are many other things that are important, but they're not as important as your soul. Your soul is the most important commodity that you have. Praise God. And this is why we must believe what the Word of God says to us all. It is God that's speaking to you. Well, through his Word. Not by me behind this microphone. All I'm doing is echoing what the Word of God is telling you. But the most important thing is that the just shall live by faith. And the scriptures are written to Christians. The scripture weren't written to folks that were not saved. You see, once you get saved, then the word is applicable to you, praise God. And then now you begin to hear the voice of God as he speaks to you, praise God. Isn't that something, Minister Glory?
Yes, it is.
It is a powerful thing when we hear the good news. Good news. A lot of folks watch TV and listen to secular news, and they get all kind of worldly information and things that are going on. And the God of this world is just pumping all kind of information into the homes of people that are continuing to listen to secular news. And there's nothing wrong with that to a point, because you should know what your surroundings is all about. But I want to tell you, but if you want to know what eternity is about,
right,
and that's the most important thing, eternity, praise God. And I asked the question today, praise God, if you were to die today, where will you spend eternity? I asked that question loving and kindly, not being joyful in terms of folks that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to tell you that if you were to expire right now, doesn't matter how it happened, when it happened, or where it happened, we know that there's an expiration date on everybody, because the Word of God has told us, praise God, in Hebrew 9 and verse 27, it says that it's been appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. Woo, glory to God, my Lord. It says, once you die, and after the judgment. Now, that's not the final judgment, but that's judgment.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? And Apostle Paul is telling us that we must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, would you tell the folks out there in Radio Land, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, praise God, that's first of all, because the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is to believers, praise God, how we are to order our behavior as a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God.
2 Corinthians 5:17.
2 Corinthians 5:7.
Praise God. Praise God. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Praise God. Now, this is the whole thing. The gospel tells us we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We know that faith is looking at things from an invisible point of view. Praise God. Believing what the Word of God says, receiving it into our hearts, and walking thereof. The most important point that I want to convey to all that have tuned into the broadcast here is that those that are born again, it tells us that we walk We order our behavior, praise God, by faith and not by sight. In other words, we're not looking at the things which are seen, mm-hmm. but the things which are not seen, praise God.
Amen.
Because what's happening is that when we look at the things that are seen, it's just a temporary status. But look at what this word says here. We walk, for we walk by faith. Mm-hmm. And that's every day.
Every day.
That's not just on a particular day. Mm-hmm. And many people say, well, today is Sunday, today is Saturday. I can walk by faith and believe, but the rest of the week I can live any kind of way that I want to live. Well, that's not the God that I serve, and that's not the word that he's given to us all. He said, the just shall live by faith. And even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, what I'm saying out there in Radio Land there. Listen, your trust must be in Jesus. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he said he didn't come into this world to do his own will, but the will of the one that sent him. And God the Father sent him into this world. And many people today say, well, I can live with whatever I want to do after I, go to church or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you today that we live by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the one. God laid the iniquities of us all on him, because the word tells us that, but we were all like sheep that are gone astray. Every man going to his own, walking his own way. He says, but the Lord laid the iniquities of us all on him, on Jesus. So if he put all of the sin, and I can't even begin to explain what sin that was laid on Jesus. My God, I know what sin is here in the natural up to a point, but he put everything on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus took the wrath of God for us all. My Lord, my Lord. That's what he's done. He took the wrath of God for us all. We deserve to be there. Jesus never sinned. I said Jesus never sinned, but he took your sin. And he nailed it to his cross.
Yes.
Good God Almighty.
Praise God.
And you mean to tell me that one took excuse me, all of your sin and nail it to his cross, you have the audacity to walk around and say, well, I can do what I want to do. He took my sin, so I can live any kind of way. And that's the story a lot of people have embraced, so their sins are forgiven, so they can live whatever way they want to live. But that is not the gospel. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Because it says in Romans 6:1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?
Yeah.
That grace may abound?
Isn't that something?
God forbid.
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The sin nature.
And I want to say something here very kindly and with a great deal of respect to what the Word of God is saying. A lot of people say, well, you were saved before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know that the Calvinistic viewpoint is in error, because that's not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if you were saved before the foundation of the world, then why would Jesus come to save the world? It makes no kind of sense. But this is what you have going on. The Arminians, well, there's a thrust between Calvinistic viewpoint and Arminian, but I want to tell you this much here as far as what the scripture says. One word says predestination. And if you were predestined, in other words, only God knows who would be saved. The plan of God was predestined, not the person. And many people say, oh, well, I've been saved before the foundation of the world, so I can go and live the way I want to live. That is in gross error, according to Scripture, because the Word of God says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you have to believe in Jesus, should not perish. I said should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mr. Gregory, I'm not trying to castigate any particular teaching. I just want to make that point. It popped up in my spirit because Apostle Paul is talking to the church here that we all walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
Glory to God. But you got these all these erroneous doctrines out there, people are teaching, and they are following stuff like that. Read your Bible. Believe what the Word of God says. And if you are born again, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. Not man, but the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He's your guide. Depend on him, and he alone, he's the Spirit of truth. He will give you the revelation in terms of what the Scriptures are saying to you. Because after all that's said and done, no matter what the preacher said, you're going to have to stand before God for yourself. The preacher's not going to be there. He'll have to stand as well. So Apostle Paul's saying that, for we all walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
Praise God. And that's how we are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Matter of fact, in the 15th, 1 Corinthians 15, mm-hmm. praise God, Apostle Paul tells us what the gospel is. It's not you running after prosperity. That's not what the gospel. You hear all kinds of stuff on television, on in terms of hype. People hyping up the people, having them to gather to run after money and all of these different things. Let me tell you something. You better read your Bible and believe what the Word of God says. Ask the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth, and he is the teacher. That's who came to teach us, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you don't believe it, that is your problem. But I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He's not going to force the gospel on you. But Apostle Paul was very clear in terms of what he taught us, because his revelation came through and by Jesus Christ. He said that no man taught him this. It was Jesus. When he was out there in the desert in Arabia, Jesus taught him, praise God, the gospel of grace. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
And tell us what Apostle Paul is saying does in the 15th chapter of us.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel.
Okay, he said, I declare unto you the gospel. This is why we as preachers, whomever we are teachers, we should not be ashamed to preach the gospel. Don't worry about whether the people will leave or whether the people, whatever the case might be. A lot of people are afraid to preach the truth because they don't want the people to leave. Let me tell you something. If God brought them, God will keep them through his word. You don't have to worry about that. Many people are saying, well, I'll preach this so that their ears can be tickled so that they can stay. But let me tell you something. When you use one gimmick, you're going to have to use another gimmick to keep them. But let me tell you, when the word brings you, then the word will keep you, because you will have the desire as a born-again believer to abide in God's word. Now, Apostle Paul says, moreover,
brethren.
Now, he's talking to church folks.
Amen.
Brethren. Mm-hmm. I don't call people that are not born again brethren. Apostle Paul said, brethren. So he's talking to us, all of us. And he's telling us, me included, about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Praise the name of God. How did he lay it out for us?
Which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
Now, that's just as clear as your nose on your face. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that's what he preached. So if we're following man and man's teaching, because man is telling you, well, you can come together and you can be a millionaire. God wants you to do this, that, and the other. Listen, I pray that you read the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read the Bible. Read the Bible for yourselves. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He is the teacher, and he will teach you the truth of God's word. This is why he came back. Praise God. We were all going astray. We did what we wanted to do. But let me tell you something today. If you depend on the Holy Spirit, he'll teach you the gospel, because that's what Apostle Paul was teaching us all. Praise God. It's all right for man to teach you, but he's teaching you through the Spirit that's on the inside of him. He's not teaching you from his intellect, and that's basically what's going on around a lot of people hearing stuff through their intellect. But I want to tell you today that it's Spirit to Spirit. It's the Word of God. Minister Glory, finish reading that before we close
out. I delivered unto you, first of all, the which I also received, how the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Praise God.
That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
That is the gospel.
Death, burial, and resurrection.
Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Take heed to it. Listen to what I'm saying. Praise God through what the Word of God is saying. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. He is there to do just that. Praise God. Well, Ms. Glory, before we close out, we got, what, a minute? I just want you to extend the invitation and tell the people to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the gospel. And he says, unless you believe in vain. In other words, unless you're thinking we're empty.
In Romans 10, 9 and 10, is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God, praise God. You have ministers out here on the radio talking about generators, selling generators and yard sales and all kind of stuff. Listen, if the gospel is preached, souls will be saved. And that's all I want to leave for you this morning, praise God, that Jesus Christ loves you and he wants you saved. God bless you until the next broadcast. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.